Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And in our final hour, we try to give you the Commanders news and notes, things you need to know. Wednesdays, it is in the form of what Dan Quinn and Jaden Daniels said during their podium sessions. So without further ado, let's do just that. It's time for our pick six. It's six.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the pick six at six.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
All right, let's get into it with the latest on the defensive line.
Number one.
John Allen and Javonte Jean-Baptiste officially put on IR today. Allen, we know, is done for the season. Jean-Baptiste, probably closer to a four-week injury. Obviously, he'll be out the next 4 weeks. That's what going on IR means. They also signed a couple of guys down the roster. We'll get to them in a moment. But on top of those two being out, Dorrance Armstrong did not practice today. So a lot going on the Commanders' D-line room that Daryl Tapp and Joey Jr. are going to have to figure out. But here's Dan Quinn on Armstrong not practicing and Jean-Baptiste going to IR.
Dorrance will not practice today. And yes, we're hoping it's shorter than longer with Javonte with his ankle injury. So we're hopeful that it's, you know, at the limit, and we'll get a C for there. It's too early to call today, John.
And then with Armstrong, okay, he didn't practice today, but we'll see. Is this a long-term thing, or like, could we see Dorrance Armstrong this weekend?
I'm not concerned on a longer term, no. If it was, then it would have been, you know, like a IR move to go. So he's not going to practice today. And so, you know, we'll just kind of take it as we're going. But knowing Dorrance, like, this is a tough competitor. And so I know he'll put the work in to get, you know, better and get, you know, back to play just as soon as he possibly can.
So that's the outside. As for the inside, what's the fallout from losing John Allen on the field and off?
Yeah, I thought, what a great line by John. Just, you know, as opposed to, hey, don't feel sorry for me. Here's a good chance for you to get more chances, more opportunities. And that's what a leader does, you know, knowing that there's other guys in the room that are, you know, will step up, you know, specifically Johnny, and knowing that they're ready to take that challenge on. But I thought that was a great moment by him of allowing in his space of a tough and dark time to say, this is a good opportunity for you, man. Go get it and go take it. And everybody deserves those chances when you go for it. And this just happens to be one of those times when, and all of us have been in that spot, like, hey, man, this is your chance. And you go absolutely go for it and go for it as hard as you can.
So Allen's being a great teammate, but that's all he can do. He can just encourage guys. Ultimately, the guys are going to have to go out on the field and replace him. Led by Johnny Newton, what are Dan Quinn's expectations for the rookie defensive tackle?
Well, it'll certainly change the rotation. Sheldon Day will also be a part of that moving forward. FA is somebody that can work inside and outside. So, but it'll change the rotation of people for sure with a, you know, heavier load for Johnny. No doubt about that.
So last name you heard mentioned there, Sheldon Day. Also, Jalen Harris on the outside brought in. Here's what Dan Quinn said about those guys in particular.
Sheldon's been with us for a while. So that part, I've got a chance to know him and watch him. And he's got real quickness. He can get up the field. He's a good communicator on the field. And with Jalen, I got a chance to evaluate him most specifically, you know, this season with the Jets. and you know, certainly have a strong knowledge of their system and their scheme through Jeff Obrick. And so getting a chance to watch that was really strong. In fact, I got text from his coach and one of his teammates saying, you know, what a good pickup, and he'll be missed around here. And so that's always a good sign. Unprompted belief about someone without you asking is always a good sign. So we're really pumped to get him here. He knows a couple of guys here. He played with Noah and Terry back at Ohio State. Came in the same class together. So I don't know who was running Ohio State back then, but good job to you.
Yeah, the Urban Meyer fellow was a good college football coach. The problem is he stopped coaching college football. Anyway, that's a different conversation for a different show and a very different time. That time was like 4 years ago. Ultimately, there's a lot on the plate here. There's a lot they can do to try to design pressure, but that could take resources out of the back end and out of coverage, so that becomes risky. There's a lot of problems to fix here. Ultimately, they're going to need these guys to step up in a major, major way. And I think the biggest thing is, can they do a better job than they have so far of making teams one-dimensional? Can some of these guys that are maybe bigger bodies, maybe less aggressive as pass rushers, not as anticipatory in terms of shooting gaps and being playmakers, just hold their gaps better? Can they just be harder to move? And that can actually make your run defense better. And while the pass rush stuff they're going to have to figure out, if this team can at least be better against the run, down in, down out, then that can change everything else, because you earn some second and third and longs, and you earn the right to rush the passer, and you put offenses in more predictable spots. So I'm not saying that like losing John Allen is a good thing in any meaningful way. And I think John Allen obviously could have gotten more consistent and has been more consistent as the year has gone on. But maybe these guys being a little less in the playmaking mold can actually make things a little simpler, because we know if they're Dan Quinn guys, they're going to play hard. And so we'll see what they can do moving forward. As for the other big injury thing that we are watching,
number two,
the running games are going to play an enormous factor in this week's football game. And that is both the Washington running game and the Carolina running game. First and foremost, Brian Robinson was limited today. Here was Dan Quinn before practice.
Right. Yes. Yep. Brian will be out there today, which is, we're really pumped about to see him doing well. And it was hard not having him, but in the sake of what's best for him first and then for the team, it was the right call.
So they ultimately decided last Saturday, nah, he ain't good to go. Last week, he like barely practiced. Like 2 weeks ago, I should say, he barely practiced. Or actually, I think he might have been DMP all 3 days, but then ultimately played. Might have been limited on Friday. Last week, it was DMP, DMP, DMP. But it's like, oh, well, you know, last week, the week before, he barely practiced, then he played, and then he didn't play. And they definitely missed him. And we've talked about it as the week has gone on here about some of the specific types of runs that he is just clearly better at than Austin Ekeler. That lets Ekeler do the stuff that he is great at. And some of the runs where they play off of each other are back on the table. So getting B-Rob back will be huge. But to kind of meld these two things together, hey, the Carolina running game is actually pretty darn good. And this Commanders defense is now without John Allen and Javonte Jean-Baptiste, and everyone's shifting around. So what kind of test are we looking at, Dan Quinn?
Yeah, it's fully grown in terms of the run game there. You know, I've got a lot of respect for it. The interior of their line is exceptional, both in the run game and the pass game. But you see the yards per carry, and so they have do a nice job of the run game, the play pass. I think the addition of Andy, you know, as you know, leveled out some of the things there, but those are some things that jumped out to me, was the strength of their run game, their ability to cut it back. You know, I was certainly impressed in studying them. I'm not surprised by Dave and the staff that he put together, that that's a strong part for them.
So that's going to be thing number one, stop the run. Make Andy Dalton beat you. And if Andy Dalton beats you in 2024, well, we're going to be having a different conversation. And some of that conversation might have to do with mindset.
Number three.
The Commanders went toe-to-toe and are getting a lot of praise for competing with the Ravens in the game that they ultimately lost, which means this Carolina game becomes really important. Show that that's who you are, that, hey, you put a team like the Panthers up on the field ahead of us, and we're going to steamroll them over. Go boat race them. Go. It's the NFL. It's going to be hard. So even just go beat them, but don't come out flat. Do not do that. And that is, of course, what Dan Quinn's got to make sure that he manages this week. In part, I think he does this week to week because the approach and everything is not the same. There is no fluctuation. There is no pulling people back down or getting them up for a more intense game. It's just the same. We're going to prepare our best week after week. This is the standard. If we meet it, we will perform our best. So how is his team reacting following the loss to the Ravens?
Yeah, I saw, number one, a lot of people here yesterday, and that was their day off, but whether that was them getting in, getting their workouts, getting treatment, and so just to see the amount of people here, you know, without the coaches, I thought that's a good sign, Chick, to think of the guys are getting here to work on the stuff they want to work on to absolutely throw a great week. And specifically, there's things that the team wants to work on, whether that might be third down. We got a bigger emphasis for that today. Some things in the run game that we wanted to get ironed out. And so that's what I challenged us on, honestly, like, can we get stronger? And there's all sorts of ways and opportunities to do that. And those leaps, although the thing like a spring you're putting down, you see it uncoil and all this energy takes place. As the players, they don't get to see that, but it's going to happen again in this leap. But you got to go put the work in to, you know, another 4 or 5 weeks from now, say, okay, that's when I started that, and now I'm getting better at it, and that's where our challenge is. And that we've got great regard for Dave and Carolina and everything else, but it does come back to us saying there's a lot that we need to get stronger and improve upon, and like, we are going to work really hard to do that.
If you measure yourself against your own standard, then you don't wind up playing up and down a competition because it doesn't matter. It's how did we do? But you also sometimes can't but help in the moment realize, like, you're competing against one of the best. And that was what happened last week for Jaden Daniels against Lamar Jackson. How did he enjoy, if enjoy is even the right word, the competitive aspect of trying to match Lamar drive after drive last week in Baltimore?
Yeah, I mean, just as a competitor, you want to compete. When guys are able to go out there and score, you want to be able to match, and rightfully so. You know, the ultimate goal is to win the game. So if you don't score and they keep scoring, you're going to lose. So it's not more so who I'm playing against. It's just more so just a competitor in me and wanting to win.
And that makes it really easy to not have some kind of mega fall off when you are no longer Jaden Daniels versus Lamar Jackson, but Jaden Daniels versus Andy Dalton and the Carolina Panthers.
For us, we just got to go out there and play our game and execute. You know, at the end of the day, it's the NFL. Any given Sunday, you know, you could lose any game against any opponent. So it doesn't matter who you play. You got to go out there, have the same process, respect the grind, put your best foot forward on Sunday.
He sounds the same every single week because he does the same thing every single week. And that is ultimately a very, very good thing for this football team. Coming up next, more from Jaden Daniels, including how he is preparing for this Carolina defense and what he learned from preparing for the Ravens defense and what the running game means to him to have it back. So more from JD next. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. Our pick six at six continues as we give you the top Commanders headlines of the day. Music, please, Anthony Haney. Thank you. Numbers, please, Giant Voice Guy.
Number four.
All right, let's hear more from Jaden Daniels. And in fact, I'm going to play the part of Jaden Daniels here. And Anthony, you're going to have to help me here because there's actually no audio of this one. So maybe you can play the part of Jaden Daniels. Are you ready to do your best, Jaden Daniels? I want to call it an impersonation, but interpretive reading.
Yeah.
All right, so Jaden Daniels obviously had a tremendous passing performance against the Baltimore Ravens. He made a ton of great decisions. He made a ton of just outstanding throws, some of which were into extremely tight windows. So Daniels was asked about his decision-making today at the podium, and he said,
I just think that it just comes with the nature of playing quarterback at this league. Guys aren't open. You got to throw some guys open. And there's guys that have played in the league a long time that are very savvy and know what's coming, all the pattern and stuff like that. So you got to make some tight window throws. But that's what you got to do in this league. Thank you, Craig.
Great job reading, Anthony. I know I'm applauding for you reading. But I think what he says is to understand that already, it's one thing to say it, but when you watch the tape and you're like, oh, nope, he really gets it. And I think playing quarterback it's a funny thing in 2024 because of how complex defenses are. And I think there was this idea for a long time that making reads was a very linear process, that it was set hut, there's my first option, there's my second option, there's my third option, there's my fourth option, there's my check down. And if I somehow get through all five and no one's open, then I run. And then it's like, oh no, it's 1, 2, 3, and then run like 4 and 5. We don't got time to get to those. Then it was like, oh, actually that's not how reads work. It's not linear. It's you read one side of the field, if it's cover two or if it's man, and the other side, if it's cover one or whatever, you know, whatever the various sides were, or we're going to call a man beater or zone beater. And like, it wasn't this 1, 2, 3. It was this, like, if this, then that. And the reality is that that's how it was for a long time, where it was kind of, you had a lot of offenses that had a middle field open beater. So middle field open, two high safeties, the middle of the field is much more available, versus middle field close, so single high safety. So that's like your cover one, so one high safety with man-to-man everywhere else, or cover three, where it's that same middle center field type of safety with other players playing zone around it. And if it was middle field open, you'd read one side of the field, middle field closed, you'd read another, and there was always going to be an answer available. And then defenses started playing these hybrid coverages and these zone match schemes. And so it kind of became much more, again, like, okay, well, it's too hard to figure out what the coverage is and then know what you're supposed to do. So let me go back to 1, 2, 3, 4. And if along the way someone's open, then I just throw it to the open guy. And this offense has some of both. Obviously, there's other stuff where the decision is made before the snap based off numbers, like, hey, we're going to work this side of the field or that side of the field. We're going to throw a screen, or we're going to hand the ball off, or I'm going to run a quarterback keeper. Like, there's all kinds of decision making that he has to do, and his ability to make the right one way more often than a rookie normally does in all of those situations is pretty wild. But the thing that takes it over the top is exactly what he talked about, that he understands the space on the field so concretely that he can make throws in tight windows because he realizes that throw, if I put the ball right here, is safe. It gives my guy a chance and the other guy doesn't have one. And he is able to execute on that precision accuracy at an absolutely absurd level for a rookie. And it is the most fun thing to watch outside of the creative playmaking, which is much more Sandlotty fun. But like football nerd fun, doesn't get any better than that.
Number five,
more from Daniels, actual Daniels, not Anthony Daniels. Jaden talked about preparing for opposing defenses and how he kind of mentally prepares to be able to do all that physical stuff that I talked about. And before we get to what he sees from Carolina, what did Daniels have to say about the Baltimore Ravens defense and preparing for the best team that he played all year?
For them, it was kind of frustrating for watching back at the game. We weren't that good on third down. They did a good job of getting off the field on third down. So kudos to them. Tipped some passes, got us in some third and longer situations. So just going back to that, watching the film is, going out there, how can we be better as a unit? I think third down was one of the main emphases that we didn't execute at a high level at.
And that starts with having easier situations to execute. Third and four is a hell of a lot easier than third and nine. And they were in way too many third and nine whatevers. deeper stuff because they weren't very good on first and second down, specifically running the football. And some of that was Eckler, some of that was the line, and some of that was frankly Jaden. Some bad decisions in the run game for the very few that he made. Hand it versus keep it, throw the bubble. Like he made a couple ones, especially early, that put them in some bad spots. But I do have faith that they'll flip that around moving forward, potentially including against the Carolina defense that, if we're being honest, isn't very talented. They're schematically sound in a lot of ways, but they just don't have the horses up front. But I'm sure Jaden not taking them lightly.
Yeah, a team that is able to fly around. J.C. Horn is a good player, very physical, and they like to get their hands on the ball. They're a good tackling team. There's not a lot of missed tackles that they miss, so go out there, man. How can we break some leverage and get some extra yards after the catch, after the run? So it's going to be fun to be able to play against them this week.
I think that's cool because you get a little bit of detail, just a little bit of things that they're definitely talking about in the meetings. And, man, I hear like, oh, they're physical. Oh, Terry likes being physical. It's hard to out-physical Terry McLaurin. So I think that's going to be a fun matchup. McLaurin on J.C. Horn, but also Noah Brown, big and physical on the other side. Can they get Olamide Zaccheaus free and get him in a little bit of space? I also wonder if some of the fake screen type of stuff, hey, you want to be super physical? You want to be really aggressive? Well, can we slip something by you? Can we be a little tricky, a little cheeky even, as Cliff Kingsbury is wont to do? But as he prepares, what is the process for Jaden Daniels to learn all this stuff in the first place? Daniels asked today about what he does when, you're getting there at whatever in the morning, 4 in the morning, you're doing your workouts, but then there's the film aspect. What are you actually watching?
Yeah, I think just the first time kind of watching, you just get the flow and kind of look back at, man, what did we miss? What didn't we capitalize on? And how could we be better? And like I said, third down was a huge one that kind of affected the game where we weren't sustaining drives. We weren't on the field. We weren't converting on third down. So that was a huge emphasis that I took away from that game.
So there's Daniels on his process of looking back. Obviously, you go, okay, this is what we need to do moving forward. La-di-da, la-di-da.
Number 6.
And that leads directly into the run game, right? If you want to be better on third down, be better on first and second down. The best way to convert on third down is to never get to third down. And 100%, first down, get 5. Second down, get 7. First down, cool. We didn't have to deal with the third down. Excellent. Wonderful. And running the football is obviously going to be a big part for this team, not just for Brian Robinson, but for Jaden himself. So what has he seen teams try to do to stop him? Something Baltimore was really the first team to do.
Yeah, I think so. Teams might not try to let me pull the ball on read option plays. And, you got to play the game. You got to see how they're playing, how the defensive ends are playing and stuff like that. And when your opportunity is there, you got to capitalize on them. But, I mean, that's good if they want to take away me on a read option, man. Hopefully I'm able to pull a linebacker or something out the box so our running backs can hit it for a bigger game.
And they missed, there was a play specifically on the second drive of the game where Jaden did pull it and he shouldn't have. And Eckler walks in to the end zone. And it maybe changes the whole complexion of the game. Washington never led in the game. They would have led at that point. And I think this is part of Jaden's continued maturation. He is a competitor, and he wants to make a play. And so that zone read comes down in the end zone. He wants to pull that ball. It is going to have to be so obvious for him to hand it off. And the linebacker played it just well enough that he should have handed it, but there was a little bit of hesitation. So it's like, oh, wait, he's giving me the opportunity to pull it. Oh, nope, they got me. And so just being a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more willing to give it, playing it truly 50-50, letting your reactions and instincts take over as opposed to your competitive instincts of wanting to make the play. And that's something he'll continue to get better at because he's just going to get more reps. And I think that he'll continue to trust his teammates. He'll see certain things on film. And that's the exciting part is this dude's playing like a top 5 player at the position right now. And he's 6 games into his career and he's definitely going to get better. So he's going to have to maintain a lot of stuff that he's doing right now. But some of the areas where you're like, oh, well, this week, that could get better. Often it's better by the next week. So I'm excited to see what he can do against Carolina on Sunday. That is our pick 6 here on the Hoffman Show. 6 Commanders headlines at 6 o'clock. for you on Wednesdays in the form of Jaden and Dan Quinn. Tomorrow, Cliff Kingsbury, Joe Witt Jr. to the podium. You'll hear from both men. When we get back, WNBA Finals, Game 3 tonight. Our preview next. It's Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We are always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Tonight, Game 3 of the WNBA Finals. You got the Minnesota Lynx and the New York Liberty, Anthony. The game's in Minnesota. The games have followed fairly similar patterns. New York gets up early, a little bit of tit for tat, just a little chunk here, a little bit out of the lead there by Minnesota, and then a surge in the fourth quarter. In Game 1, that surge was exclaimed by the four-point play by Courtney Williams, the foul on Sabrina Ionescu. Ultimately, it goes to overtime after a bunch of wacky bits, missed call, missed Brianna Stewart free throw, and then Minnesota wins in overtime. In Game 2, Anthony, it got down to a two-point game at 66-64. I think the final was like 80-66. So the Liberty closed incredibly strong, got a couple turnovers, went on a run, bang, 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 game over. Stewie a much better night, and now all of a sudden the series is going back to Minnesota tied at one. Do you feel any differently about this series now than you did at the start of it?
Not necessarily. I still do think Jonquel Jones is a huge mismatch. But I think what Minnesota does so well in terms of like being able to get out, hit shots from the perimeter, I think that'll always be able to, you know, keep them in the game. And I sort of kind of equate it to like the Warriors. Like the Warriors always played small ball, but it didn't matter because they would gang rebound. Everybody was capable of, you know, pushing the ball, and then they did such a good job of being able to space the floor that it made it easier for people to get to the basket. Draymond Green to have open pass with nobody to, you know, contest his layups just because of the threat of the perimeter shot. So I think it's still like playing out how, you know, I envisioned it. I just didn't think Minnesota would keep getting out to such slow starts. Like, you can't get out to a slow start every game and tell yourself, oh, we're going to be able to, you know, make up and come back. That is insanely hard to do, especially in the WNBA Finals.
No doubt about it. And I think what is interesting about how this series has played out is, I don't want to say like it's all on one thing, because obviously there's a million things happening, but it really has come down to the stretches where Minnesota gets stops.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they're good. When they have to try to defend it all in transition, they're toast. And, you know, New York gets easy buckets. Now, all of a sudden, they're going against a set defense on the other side, and they can't get in transition themselves. And I think that's where Minnesota has really been at its best in this series. If they can, like, it's obvious, right? Because if you get a stop, by nature, you have prevented the other team from scoring, and that allows you to go on a run. A 10-0 run is about the 10, but it's also about the 0,
yeah.
Right? But the intensity in which it feeds into each other, because you could go on a 10-0 run where you get a score, and then, you know, the other team, you get a stop, but it's a dead ball situation for whatever reason, and then you have to come back down against a set defense. Like, you force a turnover, but you knock the ball off their foot, as opposed to getting going in transition where it's a live ball turnover or a rebound and the defense isn't set. Anytime Minnesota has had to try to generate offense in the half court against a set New York defense, it is just so much harder for them to score.
Yep.
Because they have, you know, New York is tremendous with their rotations. They've got lengthy defenders. You know, Fibish is such a good one. It's 6'1", 6'2", just to get out there, a long arm. Stewie, Jonquel, Sabrina's, you know, big enough, you know, in terms of height to challenge shots. And they all rebound really well. So if you get them scrambled, though, in their cross match and they're trying to get back to whoever they are, Jonquel's like on a guard. Like, now all of a sudden you can just keep the motion going and you find the driving lanes, and that stuff opens up a lot more. So I think that was the thing that was interesting in Game 2, going back and watching it amidst the NFL Sunday, which, by the way, do you see the number on that thing?
Like
1.5 million.
Dang.
Yeah, in the middle of an NFL Sunday, there was more people that watched a Sunday Live, but this isn't what I did. I went back and watched it on Monday or Tuesday in getting ready for tonight and getting ready to talk about it. But and because I wanted to watch it, I couldn't do two things at once. So, yeah, there was a bigger number Sunday on ESPN at 3 o'clock than there was Thursday night for game one, which is crazy to me. But anyway, it's the most watched finals game in years. But game three tonight. And I think going back and watching it, that's what stood out is like the times that Minnesota was able to take chunks. It wasn't just because they were getting stops. It was the stops led to transition. The transition led to buckets. The buckets led to setting their own defense and playing a lot better. And that fed on itself in a major way. And it allowed Courtney Williams to get downhill and get to the rim. It allowed Natisha Heidemann, who's been fantastic as the backup point guard in this series, to get downhill and get to the rim. It opens things up for Nafisa Collier, who, by the way, is still doing an outstanding job on Stewie defensively. And I think that is the thing that has happened in the series that was unexpected to me. Collier has, I won't say shut down Stewie, but like she is all but shut down Stewie. The difference in game two was because there was a lot more moments where New York got out in transition, Stewie was able to make plays away from Collier. Like she was able to escape the grasp a lot more. And thus she has a much bigger night than she does in game one. And in many ways, that is the difference in the game. 21-8-7. And by the way, the seven steals. She has 21 points, eight rebounds, seven steals. Talk about getting out in transition versus game one where she shot some miserable number. I don't even remember what it was, but it was one of the worst Breanna Stewart games of the entire season.
Yeah, Fee, man. If you don't know who she is, now you do now. She has played insanely well. And I'm not sure if, you know, her and Breanna Stewart being former teammates, even though Breanna was a senior when Fee was a freshman, I don't know if that plays a part in it.
But it's not hurting.
She knows her, man, like the back of her hand, like everything she likes to do. So she's done an incredible job, you know, just making it tough on Stewie. And that's what you got to do to, you know, some of their better players. If they had an answer for, if she was 6'5", I'm sure she'd probably be trying to do that to Jonquel Jones. It's just, you know, she's 6'1". And
there's only one of her, too. Like, she might be their best defender on Jonquel, too.
Yeah.
But the problem is, like, you there's only one of you. So Alana Smith has got to get down there and bang and do the best she can. But, yeah, I mean, Stewie is so unique as a player that it seems like the two best players that I can think of that guard her are players that were her teammates. Like Alicia Clark from the Las Vegas Aces, who played with her in Seattle and practiced against her every single day. Like, you'll learn a thing or two. And if you only play Stewie 2, 3, 4 even times a year, even over the course of multiple years, like, there's only so much you can watch it on film, but to experience 6'4", skilled, can post, can drive, can shoot, like, there's just something that to be said about the reps of doing that. And if one, Fee is great against everybody, so part of it is just her individual greatness. But I definitely think that their familiarity with each other is something. And by the way, I don't know if you saw this announcement today. Unrivaled, the off-season league that the two of them are in charge of, which they put all their business on hold. They said they put their business on hold for the finals. Then today they announced their TV deal. So do you know? But Fee and Stewie announcing today, or their league announcing today, that the off-season 3-on-3 league that they're heading up with 30 of the best players in the league is going to be January on TNT. So that'll be fun. I hope we get some whatever the W version of Inside is.
That'll still be fun.
Who is the W's version of Charles Barkley? There is a correct answer.
Cindy Kozin?
Yes, that is absolutely the correct answer. Even though she's an active player, like, never know what she's going to say. That is the number one chuckster, Cindy Kozin.
Yeah.
Really smart, but has her moments of just like, I'm sorry, what now? Cindy Kozin. So I hope there's an inside unrivaled, and I hope that Cindy Kozin's on the desk. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. When we get back, we wrap up the show with real things real people said into real microphones, including one a hit song that you've all heard that was apparently written in a way none of us ever knew. That's next. It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube as well at the Team 980. We do all of that each and every day from 4 to 7, except for the days where we leave early for Wizards basketball, let's say. And that season's coming. A week from tomorrow, Wizards get going for real, for real. We'll be live at Capital One Arena. So make sure that you, if you're coming out to the Wizards season opener, you swing by our table and say hi. We'll let you know where we're set up once we know exactly where we're set up. My guess is outside section 106, 107. That's typically where we are, but you never know. Sometimes it's new season, Anthony. It could move us.
It is a new season, and yeah, let's pray you're back where you usually are.
The power works. The internet works.
It's a good spot.
It's a good spot to be. Coming up tonight, following us here on the Team 980, is something that's on the schedule, Anthony. And the schedule, the sheet with the schedule on it, it's not going to open for me right now.
Ah.
So or is it just BetMGM tonight, or we have other programming after BetMGM tonight? Here we go. Now we got it. Wednesday. Just BetMGM tonight. Tomorrow, though, we also off at 6:45. Stars at Capitals tomorrow. So we got Stars hockey tomorrow night here on Team 980. Well, what do you know?
Yes, sir.
6:45 season is upon us after all.
Mm-hmm.
Favorite thing from the show today, Anthony?
Favorite thing from the show?
Yes, sir.
I'll probably go... I'm not going to lie, Craig. I think me getting an ice bath...
It's the correct answer.
It's my least favorite part of the show.
Objectively, that was the best part of the show. I understand. Look, I understand why it was your least favorite part of the show. It was really funny radio.
Oh, my God. I still just can't even believe it. And we have an update.
Oh?
We have an update. So there's only one ice bath, and they're not sure it's fully optional. So
like fully functional?
I mean, yeah, fully functional.
Operational?
Operational. What did I say?
Optional. Oh. It's not optional. We have to do it. I owe the show one, and now after today's competition Wednesday, you owe the show one.
Oh,
no
man.
Optional about it.
Yeah, we got to figure out where we're going to do this. Prep is no longer an option.
Here's what I'll say. If you own a recovery facility in the D.C., Maryland, Virginia, we have cars will travel within reason, and you would like to donate an ice bath session to the Hoffman Show, and you have two ice baths or cold tubs or cold plunges. That's what we need. We need two. Shoot. As long as it's not outrageous, I'll even pay for it. If you want to give it to us for free, look, we make radio salaries. We'll take it.
Yeah.
I can't promise a shout out on the radio because there's rules against that. But obviously in the digital version on video, we have a little more leeways. You will get your credit. I'll put it that way. So I hope that didn't break the rules that I just said we can't break. The point is, if you have access to multiple cold plunges, multiple cold tubs, ice baths, whatever, and you would like us to come pay our wheel of mediocre punishment at your facility, send me an email, hoffmanshow.com/contact, and we will see you.
Man, this shall be an experience.
I'm excited for it. What if it's not that bad? That ever cross your mind?
So we have, there are a lot of screams on your board.
Yeah. We got a new one?
Yeah, we might have to add a new one based on how I respond when I, It might be worse than that.
That does feel more right.
Yeah.
Oh, man. I'm pumped.
Real things.
We're not gonna be sucked this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
Other great thing from today, our conversation with Clinton Yates was good. And I almost had us call Clinton back for when I saw this on the internet because I need his response to this. This is apparently the songwriter who worked on the song SOS by Rihanna, who revealed something absolutely crazy about the second verse of the song.
I wrote it. I had no idea what I was doing. The whole second verse of that song is 80 song titles strung together as sentences because I thought it would be super clever. Take on me, aha. Take on me, aha. You know inside you feel it right. You know inside you feel it right. Take me on. Take me on. I could just die up in your arms tonight. Could just die up in your arms tonight. I melt with you. You got me head over heels. You got me head over heels. But boy, you keep me hanging on the way you make me feel. Boy, you keep me hanging on the way you make me feel. They're all number one songs from the 80s.
That's incredible. I had no idea about that.
No one does. No one does.
And until now, I wish I could credit the podcast that was on. That would have been a smart thing for us to look up, Anthony. I'm sure if you search Rihanna SOS 80s songs, we could probably get that. Anthony, yeah. Actually, if you want to do that real quick so we can give the proper credit here on the air, that'd be good. But I've always thought that verse, like, there was something funky about it, but like in a great way. Like, it's just so catchy. And like, who would write those lyrics? Someone who's doing a bit. That is, like, I can't believe also that song's been around since like 2008, 2007, 2006.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just learning this now?
Yeah. That is insane. Mind-boggling, actually. 80 songs. Wow.
Yeah. Do you have the credit?
I don't see the podcast. I just see Daniel Walls.
Okay, Daniel Walls telling the story.
Yeah.
Good job. Good job to Daniel Walls. What's this Bradley Beal thing in Real Things? It looks like it's long.
Yeah, it is. It's about a minute and a half long. And it was actually, it's about a week old. We were supposed to play it last week, didn't get to it. But it was basically about Bradley Beal, his response to the new general managers.
Oh, yeah. When they were like, hey, we're going to trade you.
Yeah.
And he was like, dang, respect.
Yeah,
which to me says something about Brad and also the previous regimes, that he was finally like, why did you idiots do this a long time ago? Whatever. All right, that's our show. By the way, speaking of that new GM, Will Dawkins, you'll hear from him next week. But as for tomorrow, well, join us then and you'll find out what we do tomorrow then.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.